All right, good morning, everyone. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. I got to see the cutest baby ever, much cuter than any of your grandkids. Little Rowan is cute. That was a lot of fun. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We do have a lot to be thankful for. So thank you for the Thanksgiving celebration with family, friends, and thank you for the first Sunday in Advent as we look forward to the birth of our Savior. Bless us now as we study your word and look at the amazing work of you, God, the Holy Spirit. Bless our time. Thank you for this gorgeous day. Thank you for the beautiful decorations we have in this building that we can gather as family around your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, there should be handouts. It's the same handout probably for the next, 3 or 4 weeks probably. So grab a handout. It's on the Holy Spirit. We have looked at the person and the personality. He is God, the Holy Spirit, not a force. Sometimes we in churches like this don't pay as much attention to the Holy Spirit. And if you notice, today we're going to celebrate communion. When we say the Apostles' Creed really doesn't say much other than we believe in the Holy Spirit, period. So, very neglected person in the Trinity sometimes. And where there is neglecting, sometimes other denominations sometimes can then fill that void with maybe a little more importance than biblically the Holy Spirit would want to be worshiped. And that's what we're talking about now, his work. And so on your notes, we are down. Last time we looked at, his umbrella, if you want to look at a major function, his umbrella function from John 15 and 16 is he glorifies the Son. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is sent by the Father and the Son, and his purpose ultimately is to bring glory to the Son. And now we are looking at ways that happens biblically. And so he glorifies in evangelism. We looked at that. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. That's John 16, verses 8 to 11. We talked about that. And so the final summary was, we must witness when we tell people about, our salvation, how it is people can be Christians. We must witness in the power of the Holy Spirit to Christ's righteousness. We are pointing people to Jesus, not to come to church, not let me tell you my story and how Jesus changed my life. That's all good. But ultimately, people have to understand who Jesus is and God the Holy Spirit. That's one of his major functions. And then judgment. We must witness to Christ's righteousness, not our own efforts. So it's not what we do, of course. It's what God has done for us in Christ. And God the Holy Spirit will be looking at that here a little bit. God the Holy Spirit applies the work of Christ on the cross to our lives. That's what makes us Christians. So he glorifies on your outline, the Holy Spirit glorifies in salvation from Evangelical Convictions book. God's gospel, the good news about Jesus, originates in the eternal plan of the Father. It is accomplished by the earthly work of the Son on the cross and is applied to our lives individually by the power of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you have Father, Son, Spirit, all glorifying Himself, God, by our salvation. God plans, Son work accomplishes, Holy Spirit applies. So the first big word we're going to look at is called regeneration. Sometimes we in English, we say that you're born again. You are regenerated. You are brought to life from being dead spiritually. Born again, you have new spiritual life. If you are a Christian, you have spiritual life. Other people that are not Christians, they are physically alive, but they are dead people walking, spiritually speaking. And that's just the biblical truth. And so regeneration. Scott, would you please read Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27.
Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them.
Okay, so important words. A new heart. Put a new spirit, spiritually alive in you, and I'll take that heart of stone and give you that heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk the result in our lives. Okay, that is Old Testament. Here in just a second, we're going to look at why that verse sometimes, is the background of what Jesus told Nicodemus. One quick point. My mommy called me the other day. When I ask you guys to read, if you're not comfortable reading, let me know. I'm sorry, I'm just picking people that, I think are comfortable. But read loudly. We're deaf up here. We're all deaf. And we want people to be able to hear. My mommy called. And she was complaining because the Veterans Day, I had people talk about Storm, and Mom thought, I wanted to hear those, and I couldn't hear anybody. Well, Mom, we're not doing this for you. But she said, talk to the pastor, and your church has money, doesn't it? Why couldn't you have a microphone to pass around? And I, why couldn't you ask the person in charge? And so I said, well, just a minute, let me ask him. He says no. So, because, we could pass a microphone. Let me know if you want to, but I don't like that. And so just speak up, and people that want to listen to it online, they can come here. That's what I told her. But when my mommy talks, I have to listen. And I said, yeah, we have that technology. We have wireless mics. We could do that. But, wait a minute. Don't say anything. Lauren, run over there with the microphone and give it to Tammy so she can sing her song. We're not going to do that. And my mom does the same thing. Yep. So sorry, that was aside. But Scott said it nice and loudly. Speak loudly. When people are up here, it's sometimes they think they're just talking to me. People in back. I want the Army guy to hear. He needs this. The Army guy needs this. Okay. So now, Tammy, would you read John 3, 3 through 5? We're talking about regeneration, born again, a new spirit. Okay, so that was Nick at Night, John 3. And what we just, Scott just read, Ezekiel 36. This is one of those misunderstood, I believe, that Nicodemus, Jesus calls him, you are the teacher of Israel. You know, Nicodemus was a, you know, a really high-ranking guy. You are the teacher, you know, capital T, capital T, and you don't understand these things. And so, you know, Nicodemus should have known Ezekiel. And so you can, it's really sensing almost a little sarcasm. You know, how can a man be born again? Can he climb back in his mommy's womb and be born? Okay. No, we're not talking about physical birth and spiritual birth. That's obvious. Duh. Nicodemus wouldn't be that obtuse. But what Jesus is saying, you know, you're the teacher and you don't understand what Ezekiel said about putting a new spirit in you. And when we talk about being born again, the Greek word is actually anothen, which means better probably from above. Unless you are born from above, in other words, from God, the Holy Spirit, regenerating you, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So that context there is Jesus showing this Jewish teacher what it means more completely to have the Holy Spirit, and you will be born again. I say to you, amen, amen, you know, truly, truly, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. And so some people think that's baptism and the Spirit. No, that contradicts other areas in Scripture. Born of water and the Spirit. Oh, the amniotic sac and physical. Nah. Okay, Jesus is, you know, teaching medical. But what is the water in Ezekiel? It's the water of cleansing. That's what the picture is. In baptism, we use water in baptism. That is a picture of cleansing, ultimately. And so the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit is what makes you right to be born from above, born again, born of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So regeneration. All right. Trudy, could I ask you to read Titus 3? Four and five. Okay, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man, you know, that's Advent, toward man, appeared not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's not our righteousness, once again. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing, there's that water, washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So regeneration, made alive by the Holy Spirit, cleansed from our sin because of what Jesus did on the cross, of course, but that is being applied to our lives by the washing and regeneration, being born from above, or so we, you know, we in the evangelical church like to say born again, You are born again spiritually because of what the Holy Spirit does. Any questions on that so far? Does that make sense? Okay. And Georgia, may I ask you to read Ephesians 2? Four and five. I realized I was talking to a fighter pilot earlier. You can only think of one thing at once. Here's the book and the chapter. You there? Now the verses. Okay, so that's Ephesians 2 is one of my favorite verse chapters. But in his mercy, his love, because he loved us, not because we were lovable, but because he chose to love us. We were dead, not sick. We were dead in our trespasses, made us alive. There's that regeneration, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And then, you know, later on, the familiar verses, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God because of what he has done in regeneration. Folks, that is so huge, and we ought to be so thankful. And that's what Advent is all about. Here was the Lamb of God, that ultimate sacrifice to accomplish what we can't do on our own. So any questions about regeneration? You know, that's a big English word, but regenerate, to make alive again. Okay? All right. How about baptism in salvation? So what is baptism in of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the agent placing us into the sphere. These are sort of, you know, think the Holy Spirit, you know, God the Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus by salvation. He's the agent. He's the one that places us in Christ, the sphere of Christ and being saved, which once again is pictured in water baptism. That's why we use water. You know, we are being, you know, in the Baptist tradition, submerged or, you know, sprinkled, all the different ways we do it. But that is picturing the cleansing and being placed into the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit does that. So when I'm preaching or when I'm talking about the union, we are in Christ. We are not individuals running around out there. Because we have been incorporated into the body of Christ, Christ loves his bride, the church, corporate, and of course we are individual members of that, but that's, you know, that is the corporate nature of Christ as the head of his body, the body of Christ, the church, universal. You know, here at CFC, we are a local branch office of that church universal. So baptism, okay. Georgia, can I ask you again? 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12 and 13. Yeah, just verse 13 then. Yeah. Okay. Did you get what was emphasized there? One. Okay, that is very important, because once again, we have friends who like to emphasize other other baptisms, other, you know, other sort of dividing the body of Christ. There is one Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one regeneration. And what he does is baptizes us into the church, the body of Christ. We were all baptized into one body, one church. See, that's why, you know, not just individual, you know, we have individual denominations, and sometimes we are so busy, you know, critiquing each other's, the way we do things, we forget that we are all one church, if you are a Christian, and including Jews or Greeks. See, and we can't comprehend that, but in Paul's day, that was, I mean, Packers, Bears, Auburn, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, those are petty rivalries. Jews and Greeks in the same body, are you kidding me? Christ and the Holy Spirit is capable of putting us into one body. And so the good Jew Paul is just amazed. He calls it a mystery, something hidden in the Old Testament, but is now revealed in the New Testament, that we are in one body along with Jewish believers now. And sometimes in the church, we have denominations that are quick to get rid of the Jewish believers. And I don't want to be near lightning for that one. And one baptism. So there is one baptism, you know, which water baptism, and we have different modes and different understandings of that. That's not the purpose here, but it is one Christian baptism by the Holy Spirit that makes us Christians. Okay? There are those who think there are at least two baptisms, one to make you a Christian and one to make you a more spiritual Christian, you know, speaking in tongues. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to go into that too much unless you want me to correct you. But that is very divisive. And that's not understanding what God's word says about this. Romans 6:3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So baptism primarily is we are identifying with Christ, whether that's sprinkling, pouring, immersion, and that's actually why I personally am a small B Baptist, you know, Baptistic, in that I believe the Bible best pictures baptism by immersion, because we are baptized into his death. We are identifying with what Christ did on the cross, and that water pictures that, along with the cleansing, the renewing, regeneration. There's a lot of symbology, you know, just in the water. Just like in the elements we will use later during the Eucharist. It's much more than just wine and bread. It really pictures, especially Old Testament things, that then Jesus makes alive by what he did on the cross. So here's a little esoteric stuff that you guys won't care about, but you see, this is something to note. In the New Testament, the expression to be baptized in or with the Holy Spirit is found 7 times, 4 times in the Gospels, 2 times in Acts, and once in 1 Corinthians, what Georgia read. They are all looking forward in time or back in time to Pentecost. Okay? So, you know, when John the Baptist in John, the Gospel of John, said, there is one coming after me that's greater than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Yet future. Georgia and 1 Corinthians, Paul was looking back. By one Spirit, you were baptized into one body. So that ultimate event was, you know, the birthday of the church, you might say, at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit indwelt the church in a special way, bringing with it all these things we're talking about now. You know, the regeneration, the baptism. We'll look at other words here in a minute. But they are all looking forward or back. In Greek, that word is the same Greek word. Baptized in, baptized with. It's all the same word referring to Pentecost. Some denominations have to take that word and make it mean different things to try to, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. They make a big distinction, and biblically that doesn't hold water. Okay, so that's a little of your Greek lesson for today. Howard, it's all Greek to you, right? Huh. Okay. Any questions about that? It's pretty straightforward biblically, but that's one of those areas that we humans are good at twisting and making things say what we want them to say. Are we good there? All right, next word. So the Holy Spirit glorifying Christ in salvation by regenerating, by baptizing into the body. And then there's a word called adoption. I mean, we know what adoption is. Do any of you have kids? Well, Sue, isn't that a precious thing? I mean, just from a human level, how wonderful is adoption? Well, magnify that by infinity, and that's what we have been adopted into the body of Christ. So God makes us members of his family. And that's more, you know, that's greater than when I talk about justification. That's another big word. To be declared righteous, that's, I mean, that's a beautiful word, but that's a legal, sort of a dry, you know, legal term. You've been declared righteous, but when you're adopted, you're in the family. That's a, you know, much more personal, warm, you know, term. We're part of the family, not just declared right. So. Okay, preacher brain, can you not see a great illustration there? And it didn't take years. It happened the moment you believed. You were adopted. You won. You know, it's not, you know, self-centered. You won. No, God won you through adoption. That's beautiful. Good, Sue.
Can I just share? When our daughter-in-law got married,
yeah.
She brought two boys into the marriage. She brought her two girls and a son into the marriage. When, after they did their vows of their marriage, each of them turned to the other's kids and read vows to those kids that they were taking them under their wing and making them part of their family.
I mean, you know, just once again, at the human level, the desire to be part of a family, and for little kids that have gone through tragedy of some sort, whether death or divorce or whatever it is, to be brought back into a family. I mean, think of, we have all been adopted by God. We were unlovely, you know, think of all the unwanted children. On the news here, I've been seeing some little kids that are left at the border. That's horrible, you know, and just to, for those kids, you know, they're here illegally, but, you know, poor little kids, did not have a family that cared enough to keep them to be adopted into a family. If we can't appreciate that, I mean, even stiff Germans like me get a little teary-eyed over that. All right, Scott, going to give you another chance. Romans 8.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage to get fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Okay, did you get that? The Spirit of God, we are sons, and of course that's sons and daughters, but we are children of God. You did not receive an adoption, a spirit of bondage, the bondage to sin. We were dead in our sin, but then we have been regenerated, baptized, brought into the body, and not just declared righteous. You know, Jesus' righteousness, salvation. You know, we're forgiven from our sins. You know, we'll look at more of those words later. But adopted, we are children of God. Okay, think about that. And if children, then heirs. We're not just, okay, the second class adopted kids. We are actually heirs of the family in Christ. So all God's, you know, think of God's kingdom. You know, we are heirs as part of that. Not just, boy, aren't we lucky to squeak in. We are fully adopted. And I won't tell it out because I'll blubber like a baby. But Luke, when he talks about the prodigal son, we are still children and heirs, despite our waywardness. Okay. So, Pam, would you read Ephesians 1? Five. Okay, so Ephesians 1 talks about the blessings we have in our salvation. And one of them is being adopted as sons by the work of the Spirit. And why? Because we are so lovely, because, you know, we come with a big fortune price, and so God wants to adopt us to get our fortune? No, not because we were lovely in and of ourselves, but according to the good pleasure of his will. So we, you know, your son-in-law and daughter, daughter-in-law and son-in-law, I guess now. Yeah, they're both in-laws now. You know, they made the choice at a human level by their will to adopt those kids. Sue, your family. You know, so think of this as God's will, but just because he chose to do it, and he adopts us, and that's, I mean, Ephesians 1 is a, you know, all the books in the Bible are pretty good. Ephesians 1 and 2 especially are good. Okay, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there we are. We have been baptized into Christ, into the church, into the body of Christ, have put on Christ and his righteousness. And so then we are sons of God through faith. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Okay, once again, do you understand how much God had to love sinners like us to bestow that love so that we should become children of God, joint heirs? And is there any wonder during the political season? I mean, just is it any wonder the world doesn't understand that? Pagans don't get this. You know, so trying to tell a pagan, you know, you need to clean up your life, they can't. They can't until they are regenerated and baptized spiritually and then and adopted so that they have the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, living inside them and dwelling. We'll get to that next week, probably. They are incapable of doing that apart from Christ. And so we, as the children, you know, what the bumper stickers, you know, we're no better than anybody else, just forgiven. You know, in other words, we don't deserve this, but God has done this for us. We want to introduce other people to what God has done, not you reprobates need to clean up your lives. Once again, let's start with our lives first, huh? And then that word in Romans 8, we are joint heirs, receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba. Okay, that's the Aramaic word for father, daddy. We have the right to call the sovereign, holy King of the universe, daddy, because we are part of his family because of what he has done for us. In Christ, through the working of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives. Any comments? Questions?
Speaking of Abba, when Danny Greenman was here for Papi, I don't know if you noticed, but his little kids wanted to ask him a question, and it just rolled off their tongues.
Wasn't that sweet? Yeah. Ah, ba, knows the A sound. Ah, ba, that's how Jesus says it. Just like, amen. Okay, so it's awfully sweet. Jesus thinks it's sweet when we pronounce words the way he pronounces them, not the way we want to pronounce them. No, any other comments or was that helpful? Is that, I mean, these concepts are just so beautiful, deep. You know, there's so much there, even though they're just sort of dry, big words. I understand that. But, you know, I try to give you some scriptural background to this and give you the skeleton of what's going on. But the bottom line then was God, the Holy Spirit, glorifying Christ ultimately in our salvation. So I'm going to assume everybody here is a Christian. All these things are true in your life, whether you know it or not. I think we ought to know it and we ought to appreciate it. So it's less about us and more about what God has done. Any other comments or personal abuse? And we all agree we're going to say amen from now?
Amen.
Scott, would you pray for us? Amen. Thank you. Yeah, next time we'll look at how the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ in our living, our Christian living. Because we are God's children, do we not want to please our Father? And so what we ought to want to do because of what God has done for us.